Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa,
welcome
whoa,
back
whoa,
to the latest
whoa.
Mountain West whoa, Connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out. Check us out. You know the website, mwcconnection.com. Facebook, Mountain West Connection, MWC Connection. Over on Twitters, we're kind of on Google Plus. If you want to like us over there, follow us or whatever it's called, do that too. But it's just me tonight, Jeremy, hanging out. Everybody else is, I could be mean and say they didn't want to do the show, but that is completely false. A few people that normally hang out with us. Chris is, he's a tennis coach, if you don't know, busy. Matt's got class, as to our good buddy Parker, but hey, his wife's having a kid tonight, so that's understandable to not be around to help out with the show, but we still want a show, so we'll still do it. It's myself. Maybe this is a makeup for me not being around for those recap shows a couple weeks. So you get me by myself, we'll see how it goes. We got a pretty good slate this weekend, all Saturday games, so with this show coming out Thursday night, you still have plenty of time to listen to hopefully some knowledgeable football talk tonight. We have what we got going on. We have 8 games. And there are, let me see, I should have counted before. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 conference games. The rest are non-conference games. Obviously, a few bits of news before we begin. There is kind of the worst kept secret. Arizona Bowl, officially official for the Mountain West. Seventh tie-in. It'll be between Mountain West Conference. Conference USA is the primary matchup. However, I was kind of surprised to see good old Carl Benson there in Tucson to introduce the bowl during the press conference. Sunbelt is an alternate opponent, so basically what that means, if there's not enough 6-6 teams, then Sunbelt can slide in to get them an extra bowl spot, which is good. They need some more bowl spots because they're getting a little bit better, and it's nice to recognize other leagues. As for the game, kind of a big deal. It's going to be on Campus Insiders, and we're familiar with that here, streaming games. Looks like we got one game this weekend, UNLV at Nevada, which will be disappointing. It's not on regular old TV for the Fremont Cannon, but the other streaming provider for the bowl game, it's December 29th, 5:30 p.m. local time. They're still looking for a TV provider, so it's not going to be streaming only, but I've used it with the Chromecast and very few issues with Campus Insiders. There's been a few here and there with it being a streaming service. That could be on my end if my internet's not very good. That could be a possibility, but that's pretty cool. And a few options it could be, you're looking around. It's not going to be on ESPN, not going to be on Fox Sports 1 because they have a boxing match that night. I put a few options on the website for an article like FS2, NBCSN, maybe CBS Sports Network. I don't know if that's the case, despite the relationship they have. We all know that it'd be nice if they had a streaming option. They have the capability, but they're not doing it. So it kind of stinks on that end. So it could be the American Sports Networks. If you've been poking around your local over-the-air channels you never watch, like MyTV, this is where the bowl game could end up. So that's It's a decent option. And Conference USA has a relationship with them, with ASN, so that could be where it ends up. And that's, hey, if it's regular TV like ABC or NBC, so that's pretty good. But let's get to games. There's not much else or other news we really talk about. Let's get into the games. And as per usual, we'll go chronological order. And the games are reasonably spread out. The first game, we got San Jose State at Auburn, SEC Network. That's what, 3 Central, because that's where Auburn's at. I don't have the time zones converted, but that's 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. We can all figure it out. We're adults here. And that game is, well, actually, it's not chronological order. I was going through a different sheet. We'll back up. Air Force Navy is the first game. Right now, Navy's a 5-point favorite. This is obviously a huge game. Commander-in-Chief award. Air Force has done pretty well against Navy the past couple of years, probably being the better team. But Navy's 3-0 this year, haven't lost at home. You know, the Falcons are going with Carson Roberts, backup quarterback. Could be some weather issues out east. There's that hurricane coming around. This game has not yet been announced to be changed. There have been a few games that have been moved up. There was, I think Maryland was playing an 8 o'clock local game. That got moved to noon local time. So could be some rains, but not rains. That's not correct. But there's Hurricane Jacqueline, I believe, or Joaquin. I don't know why I said Jacqueline. I was looking at it. I'm like, wait, that doesn't sound right. Joaquin is coming up the East Coast, so there could be some rain, weather, 60s, whatever. That does not impact one bit. But here's the thing with Navy. This is finally, after seemingly being there forever, Keenan Reynolds is the quarterback for Navy. Everybody should know who he is, what he can do. Obviously, they run a similar run option based, more triple option with the full back, 3 backs in the backfield with Keenan Reynolds. He already has, well, 1 passing touchdown, excuse me, I was looking at the wrong statistics here. He has 9 rushing touchdowns, which is tied for the nation lead with, Tyler Irvin of San Jose State. And he's the guy you got to stop. If they can stop him, it's a win. And Reynolds is picking up steam. He had 4 touchdowns last week, 3 rushing, 1 passing. He's second in the team in rushing for the year. So we know he's going to run the ball. We know it's going to be Chris Swain running the ball. Well, all these guys average 5 to 6 yards per carry. At Quentin Edsel back there, DeBrandon Sanders does a few things. He's the kind of the big play guy, but only a handful of carries with 11 so far. Reynolds, we know Reynolds can throw a little bit. He's not going to throw the ball away or bad throws for interceptions. This is a game. It all comes down to, we've seen fights in this game. We've seen controversy in this game. We've seen everything in this game. We've seen blowouts. We've seen close wins. This is a game where, if Air Force wants, it's basically, this is a Commander-in-Chief award. Sorry, Army, but it's the even Air Force's award, or actually Air Force's award to lose this year, but it's going to come down to these two teams. Because Army, you're not there. You're just not, you don't have the players, you don't have the personnel, you kept it close a couple of times, but you're not a team that's going to beat either of these teams. So basically, if you win this game, you take home the Commander-in-Chief award. And I believe for Air Force, it would be their 20th or 21st Commander-in-Chief award, if I'm correct. See, these are other things I should look up and not just kind of guess. But just real quick, in last year's game between these two teams, it was Air Force who won 30-21, which is a big reason. And part of it was Cale Pearson, well, he's the quarterback last year, 3 touchdown passes to get the 30-21 win. This will be, like, for Carson Roberts, he's played a lot. This is not some noob guy. We talk about it quite a bit. He's played for Air Force. He started for Air Force in the past. And so far this year, when he took over for Carson Roberts, who I don't think the school ever officially announced it, but torn ACL. He's done. He's unfortunately not coming back. And I'm pulling up the statistics here, kind of bouncing around. Roberts, here's the thing. He's not the problem with the, apologize if that was backwards there. Roberts just started. Nate Romine was the previous starter. If I said a different name, I'm going blank or something's going crazy here. But his first game for Roberts, it's hard to tell. Michigan State, they had a bye last week. He rushed for 44 yards, 149 passing. Thing with him, he can run the option a little bit better than Romine, I believe. Because Romine hit 100 yards before he got out and got injured. But here's what's going to come down to. If he could just run the option as you do, these athletes on Navy aren't as good as anybody, but not better than Michigan State. There's basically that size advantage that opposing teams have against Air Force is not around in this game. You got the height restriction, weight restriction. They're on an even playing field. Yeah, it's an East Coast game early afternoon. But DJ Johnson's a touchdown machine. 5 yards a carry, 5 touchdowns this year. Jacoby Owens, kind of shocked. He has not gotten the end zone once this year. They're spreading them out pretty well. Garrett Brown has one huge run. Benton Washington, a lot of guys are doing quite well on the ground. And there can be, don't get, they're going to get 1,100 yards in just three games, in a couple of games. They are crushing it. And this game, be patriotic. Watch this game. It's on CBS Sports Network. Like I said, 1:30. Wait, excuse me. 1:30 Mountain Time. I think ESPN goes to my time zone, which is fine. So 3:30 Eastern. They like to customize it, but then when I'm doing this thing, it's like, what's going on? But that's it. It's going to come down to, it's going to be a fast-paced game. So basically, don't stop your DVR, or don't pause it too often, or don't step away. If you do step away, pause it if you have that capability, because this could be literally like a two-and-a-half-hour game max. You've got to stop. Keenan Reynolds is the player in this game. If Air Force is going to stop, we got Weston Stillhammer, got Alex Larson there, roaming the linebacker core of those guys. This is going to be a game where Navy's the favorite. Navy probably should win. They seem, if you look at our underdog poll, I think Navy's just above Air Force, just because Air Force has the one loss. But again, you lose to Michigan State, and wasn't that bad of a beatdown, reasonably close. But I don't want to be the stupid cliche, throw the records out the window, or that garbage in this game. But don't expect either team to win in the blowout, because that has not happened in a while. And if I'm going for my pick, I probably should email Chris my picks for the base, but I got to go with Navy. They got the best player in Keenan Reynolds there, and people say, oh, Keenan for Heisman. No, he's going to actually, I believe this year, he's going to pass like Barry Sanders, Herschel Walker, Ricky Williams for the top quarterback or rushing, not quarterback, excuse me, top rushing touchdowns nationally and ever in college football. That was kind of a weird sentence I put together, but you get my drift. He's going to have probably the most rushing touchdowns ever once the season comes to an end. And it is a 5-point line for Navy. I think they'll win by about a touchdown. It'll be because Keenan Reynolds has a big game. And not that Air Force won't do anything wrong, but I don't think they'll have enough on defense, on the defensive side of the ball, to stop Reynolds. All right, next game. Oh, Wyoming. I think I joked about this, but in my overreaction piece, put them down to FCS and Craig Bull can coach them up and get a big win. They're 0-4. This game's on ESPN3 against Appalachian State Sun Belt. And we all know Appalachian State, they moved up recently. They're above average program. They're 2-1. They're going to be pretty good in the Sun Belt eventually. They're still going to get the extra recruits get the full 85 scholarship. But I don't get what's with Wyoming, because Tanner Gentry was just added to the Blitnikoff Award watch list. Brian Hill's having a good year. Even Cameron Kaufman, which whatever you say of him, they threw the ball pretty well last week. But they're going to have a tough time, because Appalachian State, their defense, top notch. Yes, they played Howard and Old Dominion, but they've played Clemson. Their one loss, number 12 Clemson on the road. Yes, 41-10. A lot of points. But as for the yards given up, like there's only not even 5.5 yards per play. They give up 252 in the air and only 140 on the ground. So their defense is there. But if you look at like when they played Howard or Old Dominion, 172 and 175 yards each in that game, under 3.5 yards per play. And so when you look at what Appalachian State can do, I don't know what Wyoming's able to, because Brian Hill was shut down last week. I can't take Wyoming to do anything right. We don't know what's up with Craig Bull. Yes, they're very young defensively, and I expect Appalachian State to put up points, because in their game so far, what they've put up, they scored, 10 against Clemson, which is obviously a much better team. They put up 49 in Howard and Old Dominion, who they both shut out. So they've only given up 41 games all year in three games. So what, just 12, 13 points per game overall, if you want to divide it that route or that way. And I just can't trust Wyoming to do anything. They're going all the way across country. They lost to New Mexico last week, which, whatever, New Mexico's improving. We know they are, so we can't take too much joking into that, but New Mexico's rush defense hasn't been very good, and they held Brian Hill to 49 yards last week. Sean Wick, who was the starter, -2 on 5 carries. This is a game where unless Cameron Kaufman showed up big, because New Mexico's secondary is pretty bad, they're going to need a big game from everybody. And the line in this game, no joke, 25.5 points. That's ridiculous. Over-under is 53, and it's a 25-point edge toward App State at home out there in Kid Brewer Stadium. Same thing, there will be some weather issue. Could be some rain, so who knows if that'll help or hurt Wyoming. But all we know, That's too many points. Wyoming's going to at least cover this game. Winning, I should maybe lean to Wyoming, but they're not very good. They can't move the ball on the ground as much. Well, they can, I shouldn't say they can't, because we've seen what Brian Hill can do. Let me put it this way. They have the potential to do that, but they haven't. And that's when you see them going up against Appalachian State, which is not the best. I'm trying to debate if this is the best defense they've seen as Wyoming's played. This actually could be North Dakota, Eastern Michigan, Washington State, and New Mexico. This really could be the best defense they faced all year, and that could be a problem for Wyoming. As for what Appalachian State does offensively, you got Taylor Lamb, quarterback, reasonably accurate, 56%, 8 TDs to 3 picks. Not amazing. That's a couple a game. But then again, they had just two big-time games where they shut out and won against Old Dominion and Howard. They got Marcus Cox running the ball, and he's getting over, like, there's running backs. They're getting five and, look at these guys, 5.5 yards per carry, Marcus Cox, Terrence Upshaw. You got Jalen Moore, over eight yards per carry. Yeah, 17 attempts. You got Josh Boyd. This running game is getting, as a team, nearly 6 yards per carry. So they're going to move the ball, and I think they're just going to run over, because if you look at what New Mexico did against Wyoming, the rushing attack finally showed up for the Lobos, where you had Jarrell Presley, big game. Let me pull up the exact stats here. Lamar Jordan, big game. Presley, 103. Jordan, 147 on the ground. Over 6 yards a run. I don't see... We would think Wyoming could beat this Appalachian State team, but they can't. I don't think they will. They'll be close. As in close, we're covering a 25.5 point spread, but there is no, I don't think there's any way they're going to win this game. I shouldn't say anyway, but I got to pick App State to win, but Wyoming's going to get within that 25 points. But it's just ridiculous that a Wyoming team, a lot of people had confidence that they might be able to get to a bowl game or be close to it. And again, no bowling buns until they're close, and that's not going to happen this year, it seems like, one bit. So I got to pick App State to win, and it'll be because they'll stuff and stop that Wyoming offense, which, like, again, has potential, but, man, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't want to say Craig Bull's job's in danger, but if you're 0-5, you're one of the... You lost to Eastern Michigan. You lost to some bad teams. I just don't see where they're... Let me pull up the schedule. Are they going to get a win all year? Because New Mexico, reasonable chance they can get a win. They might go 0-12 this year, because after App State, they go... Their schedule is one of the tougher ones in the conference. They go to Air Force, host Nevada, at Boise, at Utah State, host CSU, at San Diego State, versus UNLV at home. That might be the only chance to get a win this year is against UNLV at home. They might go in this weekend, but those are the only two realistic wins I see on the schedule. Because beginning of the year, we were thinking, oh yeah, North Dakota, they can win, Eastern Michigan, New Mexico, probably Washington State could be iffy, but no, they might win. They might not win a game this year. So that's something to keep an eye out. Sorry, Wyoming fans. Sorry, Ben. Sorry, those guys. But it's going to be trouble. Now, this next game, San Jose State at Auburn, which I clunkily said at the beginning, that's our first game. It's a 3 Eastern, noon Pacific out there in Northern California for our Spartans fans. And we are giving coverage. So those who don't say we talk about them, we're doing our best, folks. Come on. And again, we're biased against every team. We say that all the time. So this game, Auburn's favored by 20. But it's a game where Auburn's not very good. They're ranked in the top 10. Jacksonville State, whoever it was, an FCS team, Jacksonville State, took them to overtime. They won. They snuck by Louisville, who's proven to be just an okay team. They had no offense versus Mississippi State. Leonard Fournette go crazy in that 45-21 loss. And talking with the guys from College at Magnolia, yeah, I think that's the website name. I apologize. The guys on SB Nation, I chatted with them about a preview on the game, and they are not confident at all, because I asked them about, hey, how will we stop Tyler Irvin? Because he had a pretty good game. 300 yards last week, nine rushing touchdowns, whereas Auburn is 109th in the country in rush defense. And the first response was, pray? Question mark. And they go on to say exactly this. If there's one thing that really has me worried about this week, it's Irvin. The kid is special, and Auburn hasn't done very well against the run at all this year. They did shut down Dak Prescott of Mississippi State, but Mississippi State hasn't had a real feature back to take over this year. So he's just hoping that adjustments will be made. He's thinking of guys like Trey Williams, Justin Garrett can stay healthy. You got Will Muschamp, their new D coordinator. You would think he would make some adjustments, but man, this Auburn rush defense is not good at all. And then with Trey Williams, his status to play, He's supposed to be practiced back on Tuesday. I think he sent me this later, so I'm not sure of a current update. But Garrett's also been extremely injury-prone this year and throughout his whole career. And he's healthy last week, and that could make a difference, he says. But this could be a game. Like, it's 20 points. This might, if Chris is here, he would bait me into saying this is my dumb upset, stupid upset pick we like to do, and I might go with it just because. Hear me out, folks. You can laugh all you want if you want to just laugh at me trying to get this going that Spartans could win. Here's the thing. They have a new quarterback in Sean White. We know the San Jose State secondary is very good. Their rush defense is still awful. They're giving up 239 yards per game, still over 5 yards per carry. And so they have to somehow stop Peyton Barber, who's doing pretty well this year. He's not a super fast guy. He's just going to pound away. He has over 100-plus yards every game this year outside of the LSU game, and then he only had 8 carries. Duke Williams, of course, someone to watch if they ever decide to start targeting him again in the passing game. Freshman running back Karen Johnson has shown something as well, but his carries aren't there yet. But again, we've seen the Spartan rush defense. The one positive they had, okay, they played Air Force. That's kind of throw that out a little bit. That skews the numbers. But they gave up over 300 to Oregon State. Here's the thing. Martez Waller from Fresno State, who they played last week. Yeah, Fresno lost pretty bad. But he's a pretty good running back. And as a team, only had 88 yards. They only gave up 88 yards last week to San Jose State. San Jose State gave up to Fresno State. And so that is a positive to look at. And with the new QB, I did a Q&A with those guys as well, and I kind of said the defensive backfield was fine. They got enough interceptions. They knocked the ball down enough to have somehow the front seven can provide enough pressure or quick throws or something. San Jose State could have a chance to win this game. They need Billy Freeman to get the ball receiving, Tyler Winston receiving. They need Joe Gray, who was amazing last week versus, again, Fresno State. I get it. Not very good this year. Matt knows about this. They're just not a good team this year. And look at what he did. He went, I believe, and he wasn't even expected to start possibly. They're going to be looking at the backup. He went 20 of 23 and 3 touchdowns. This is a game where if they're going to win, he needs to have that type of accuracy again and Irvin running the ball. And here's the thing. If Jacksonville State can almost beat Auburn at Auburn there at Jordan-Hare Stadium, why can't San Jose State? I am going to go say this. Spartans are going to upset Auburn. Yeah, I'm going to go with it. Yeah, 20-point, I don't care if they're 20-point dog. They're going to not only cover, but they're going to win this game because new QB for Auburn, they can't stop the rush. The Spartans' red zone efficiency is it couldn't be much worse, but it's much improved over last year. And really quick, as the other guys, the result they give, we kind of do, when we do the Q&A with College and Magnolia, we go, what's your prediction of the game? They see a close one. He's like 31-17. I could see that just because Auburn has more talent. They're better overall. They should be better overall. And he thinks Sean White can find a rhythm to win by 2 touchdowns. But then again, Varian goes, if things don't go the right way, he would not be shocked if San Jose State comes out with a victory. And if that happens, that would be huge for the program. And the West Division's wide open. So I'm not going to say any team is out of it or any team's really, yeah. No, even not even Fresno State's out of it, folks. Or San Diego State, who lost to South Alabama. All right, let's move on to the next couple of games here. Of course, I close my schedule, which I do all the time with Chris. I'm like, Chris, what's next? But heck, it's just me. So let's move on to the next set of games. Again, these are all Saturday games, which is nice. You got the Cannon, UNLV at Nevada. That is a 4 local time at Reno. The best thing about this game is that earlier in the year, during, I think it was the summer at some point, Tony Sanchez, love him as a coach. He's active in the media. He's joyful, pumping the team up, spreading the word, getting them the promotion they need. And it's a change from who they've had in the past. Like Bobby Houck, who, whatever, doesn't want to do anything. And he's like, I'm just going to hide in a shell and blame everything on my way out. Equipment, supplies, facilities, all terrible. Sanchez knows UNLV. We don't need to dive into his history with the team or program in the area. But he was asked, about, so do you have a spot? He's like, I got a spot for the Cannon. And then the best tweet ever, Brian Pullian, head coach Nevada, tweets just last year's Cannon because they put the score on it. And that's all. I believe that's all he put. I don't know if he put where it's already got a spot or anything like that, but he put just a picture, at least just a picture of the Cannon with last year's score, essentially saying, we got a spot. You got to win it. Take it back from us. This game right now, Nevada is a 7-point favorite at home. Yes, UNLV is 1-3. They did score 80 points against Yeah, it's Idaho State, but again, I don't care who you are. 80 points is 80 points. But Nevada, they've shown me a bit more than I kind of thought, because I've always been hyping up the pistol. James Butler, Don Jackson, Tyler Strew are all playing well. They need Hashawn Henderson to step up. That kind of goes with the quarterback as well. But they're going to be missing Rakeem Yates, who's out for a full game. He was suspended by a half by the Mountain West, but additional half due to previous things he's done. And so he's going to be, it's going to be a pretty big loss for them defensively. But UNLV's offense, outside Devontae Boyd, hasn't done anything too spectacular. Kevin Whitley hasn't run the ball very well. Blake Decker, is he ever going to be at least a 60% passer like I want him to be? Is he even going to be a 55% passer? Because right now he's sitting at 52.8, 5 TDs, 3 interceptions. There's show signs UNLV does, because when they played Michigan, when they played UCLA, when they're playing these teams, they weren't beat badly. They lost, 28-7 to Michigan? They're hanging around. So the thing is the depth, and Northern Illinois is the other one, 32-10, I believe I want to say that final score was. And they're in a position to do well, if not for field goals instead of touchdowns. Maybe it's 30-13. I don't want to look it up, but reasonably close, I should say. And Nevada, they played well versus Texas A&M. They're not, this pistol's nowhere near Colin Kaepernick, not even Cody Fajardo. Chris Holt's not there. He's hanging out in Italy, practicing 4 hours a week, 4 hours a week and 2 nights a week practicing, teaching those guys the fundamentals of football out there in Europe. But this, it's a rivalry game, and Chris, I know Chris really wants UNLV to win. And I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins, but if UNLV's going to win, they need a rushing attack. Kevin Whitley can't just I'm looking at the uniforms. Maybe I'll tweet that out. If you're curious what UNLV is wearing, they're going white jersey, gray top, and they have the Reb, Hey Reb on the sleeve. So that's what the game uniform is. That's one thing I do like about the new ESPN website. When you go to the team page, because there's not always news on Mountain West teams or other teams. You got plenty on the Power 5 guys. You got Oregon. When I go look at who they're playing, look at Michigan State. They got all sorts of stuff on there. But they're putting tweets and everything on here as well, which is a nice way. They still have stuff from Michigan on here when UNLV played them. A lot of Michigan stuff just because, hey, it's Michigan. There's going to be things on there. And that score, it was 38-30 UNLV in that Northern Illinois game. So apologize if that was way off, folks. But it's a cannon game. The cannon, it's so cool. It's a freaking cannon you can win in this game. It's a cannon. It's painted blue right now. It might be red. I think I'm going to go UNLV. Whew, slip of the tongue there. I'm going to go Nevada just because they showed me a little bit more, but it's going to be closer than that touchdown. I think it's going to come down to the wire, and it's going to be the depth for UNLV if they're going to want to hang around or maybe get the ball off this win. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do get the win. They just need to get Devontae Boyd involved. They need to disrupt the pistol, whoever. Make one of the three players. Don't let the quarterback for Nevada, Stewart, there get a lot of yards. Don't let Butler go off for a big run. Hold Don Jackson. Let him do a flip in the end zone for a touchdown or something like he did versus Texas A&M. I just think the pistol will be too much for Nevada for UNLV, but Rebels need a running game. Kevin Whitley, and then they also have, I know I'm going to butcher this dude's name if I pull it up here. It's George Nafalu, I believe. Is that who we got here? Yeah, George Nafalu. He had a good game last week, but Xavier Campbell almost has as many rushing yards as Keith Whitley. And so Lexington Thomas is 100 yards behind, just over 100 yards behind Keith Whitley. Look for Kurt Palandek to get some, at least maybe some pistol carry, not pistol, but maybe a stupid wildcat reserve running quarterback type of situation. Get Devontae Boyd involved. UNLV could win, but I just don't see it. Nevada's played a lot more tougher teams this year. UNLV played Oregon State, Michigan, they're quite good teams. They played a tough schedule as well, but I'm just going with Nevada. They've been there. They've won it. They have the more consistent team, I believe. And unless Decker has a big game where he's over 60%, that's how they're going to win. And Whitley does well also. But I got to go Nevada to win. But it'll be like a field goal. It'll be something down the wire. And again, this game is not on traditional TV. It is streaming on Campus Insiders. Another streaming game. Lovely. Colorado State at Utah State. This is a game, Utah State, we've said it a bunch. Chucky Keaton's out. Kent Myers is coming in to be the starting quarterback. Chucky's out 4 to 6 weeks, right MCL sprain. He's got to be done for the year. I don't see any reason he should come back. Utah State's played a couple games. It'll be mid-November before he comes back if he's healthy. Just let him shut it down, help Kent Myers, Damian Hobbs, DJ Nelson, all the other quarterbacks find their place on this team. One thing interesting we want to find out from Utah State is if can Kent Myers, are they going to open up the playbook? Because last year, he did great job, came in for a handful of games. Yeah, he was playing like New Mexico, San Jose State, pretty terrible teams. He was able to have success but not throw the ball downfield. And Hunter Sharp is the weapon that was not used enough last year with Kent Myers as quarterback. They would throw underneath, they'd throw to other guys, but not getting the ball to Sharp, which is just a huge deal. They need to get it to him downfield. Defense will be fine, Utah State. Kyler Fackrell, you got Vigil there. You got a lot of good guys on defensive side of the ball. But Colorado State, man, Hollywood Higgins, the guy I say, Rashard Higgins, he's the man. Best receiver. He probably could be a little bit better, but still early. He's pretty sure that ankle injury he was suffering is long gone by now. But Nick Stevens and him have had a connection so far this year. If you look at the receiving yards, technically it is Tanner Gentry number one in yards per game, but they're pretty much identical. Higgins has played one less game. He has 20 receptions, over 15.5 per catch, which is the norm. He goes deep. He makes big plays. He gets about 7 receptions per game. He is the main target Utah State has to stop. And the running game for Colorado State is kind of interesting. It's not really one guy they have back there. You'll see they're going with the Dalen Dawkins and Jason Oden Jr. Oden Jr. has a lot more carries, but they're almost Dawkins a little bit more explosive, I should say. He gets over a yard more per carry compared between the two guys. So it's not going to be a committee running back, but if you look at the past couple of games, I guess see if Dalen Dawkins will play. Actually, is he a wide? I think maybe Chris discussed this. I think he's a right wide receiver, and I'm going with him on running back here. He did not play last week. I apologize. Yeah, he's number one. I'm pretty sure he's a wide out. I think I made that. I'm here by myself. I'll blame myself. As for the case, because here's what it goes. A couple days ago, this is from BSN Denver's, probably from my guy Rich Kurtzman, I bet, if I pull this up and see. Yes, it is. I've known Rich for a long time, so it does some good stuff. So Mike Bobo is ready to rotate running backs if Dalen Dawkins can't play. I think he's officially listed as wide receiver, but here's his running statistics if you look at it. He's carried the ball 5, 19, and 20 in his 3 games. And he almost has as many yards as Oden Jr. in one less game. But again, against UTSA, Jason Oden did fine. 30 carries, 143 TD against UTSA. Yet Utah State will be much difficult to run the ball against. However, he's had success. He had 80 in the week before against Colorado, where Dawkins had 118. So it's not like whoever they put in there, it's not going to be as successful, but it'd be helpful if they had both of them. So it looks like Jason Oden is going to be a starter there. But here's what head coach Mike Bobo said. We got to roll guys in there more. Bobo's referring to playing multiple backs despite Dawkins' health and his possibility being out. We've got to get Izzy Matthews. He's got 10 carries. I think he's going to give him a little confidence after that. Then he goes on to say Darren Thompson's practiced well. He's in the mix. And then Dawkins. It's hard for a guy to keep up 25 to 30 carries every game and make it through the whole season. So we've done a good job of spelling him with Oden. And we did that Saturday with Izzy getting 10 carries as well. And if Dawkins doesn't go, which I think he is, maybe we need to get Matthews 15 to 20 to take the pressure off Oden. So it's a hamstring issue for Dalen Dawkins. So it's one of those things where it's like, how's that feel today? You got to stretch it out. Are you loose? It's one of those type of injuries where he can feel perfectly fine. Because there's in the NFL, Arian Foster with the Texans. He's like, I'll be fine. I feel great. He felt greatest as he ever did going into training camp because I was watching Hard Knocks. He's good to go. And then pop, hamstring gone, just like that. And those are risky injuries. If you're not fully healthy and you come back too early, it could be nagging all year long. And that's not something the Rams want to risk or sacrifice. And as for, I should pull up the stats here, but I think they'll be fine, whoever's running the ball, but it's going to be tough. This Utah State defense, we know what Mike Wells will do defensively. They just stop Utah State's defense. Whoever they have out there has been great. Look at their rush defense right now. It is third in the Mountain West. You're giving up just 100 yards per game, 2.94 per carry. That's 3 yards an attempt. That is something that Colorado State has to surpass if they're going to win this game. And I don't really know who's better, because if you look at the line on this game, let's see, you got Colorado State. Again, like I said, this game's on ESPN3, so it's one of those streaming games you got to pay attention to. You got USU's a home favorite by 4 points, and that's basically home field advantage. It's hard to tell, because Nick Stevens, I think it'll come down to this. It's what Kent Myers can do. We know he has confidence, because look what he's done last year. He was going to be wide receiver this year until when Chucky came back, and then Daryl Garrettson transferred. I think it's going to come down to him, because Utah State, they can run the ball pretty well, LaJuan Hunt. If he can get the ball Hunter Sharp, I think Utah State will win if and only if Myers can complete the deep ball and get Hunter Sharp involved more. The Rams, we know what they can do. They'll run the ball reasonably well. They got Rashard Higgins, who can obviously is one of the best receivers in the country. And then Nick Stevens, he's prone to throw the ball away for interceptions. He has 4 in the year. He's been sacked only 3 times. He's completing about 60% of his passes. Like against Texas San Antonio, is probably is outside of Savannah State, which is just a beatdown. 3 touchdowns is the worst percentage completion game, but he's been pretty good all year. Minnesota was just awful. 8 of 19 for 51. That was without Rashard Higgins there. I can see this game, him probably more the UTSA game, because we all know what Aggies can do defensively. Aggies at home, and I'm going to take Aggies at home despite new quarterback Kent Myers, but he has had a week to prepare. They were off last week, so I'm going to go Utah State to win and win. Well, I was going to say win outright, but they're a 4-point home favorite. I think the Aggies are going to win. This will probably decide if any team's going to challenge Boise State in the Mountain Division, which probably, to me, seems more Air Force than these two teams. One of these two teams will be next in line to basically take over to be that second or third spot with Air Force and Boise State. Because loser, not that they're out, but it'll be tough. Next game, a Rio Grande rivalry. New Mexico State at New Mexico. Who would have thought New Mexico would ever be almost a 2-touchdown favorite at 12.5 points over New Mexico State, or any team, in fact? This is another rivalry game. It's on Root Sports, and it's also on Mountain West Network, 6 local time, 6 Mountain, I should say. And the way it works on the Mountain West Network, it's a streaming option in addition to Root Sports. If you live in the footprint of Root Sports Rocky Mountains, so that's Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, maybe parts of Arizona, I'm not entirely sure, you cannot, it is blackout. So if you're out in California, if you're in Texas, Florida, East Coast, Midwest, you can get this game streaming if you don't get Root Sports. So that's kind of the way to look at it. And just go to the MW.com to find that out. New Mexico. Yeah, New Mexico. Sorry, they're 2-2. We know what New Mexico is. We finally saw it last week, their running game getting one step closer to being better. Lamar Jordan had a good game running the ball and throwing the ball. Again, it's against Wyoming, who's apparently going to be just piss poor and terrible. I'm kind of surprised that Taj Gibson hasn't been playing very well. He only had 4 carries last week. It's going to be Jarrell Presley. It's going to be Gibson. It's going to be Jordan. This game, I'm going to preview it shortly, because New Mexico State, they're in the Sun Belt. They may not be in FBS much longer. Speculation, as I'm saying, there are nothing to see here. Just me spouting off for they're in the Sun Belt, which is better than Idaho, who's way out there in the middle of nowhere. But New Mexico State, hey, I see on Twitter they get their equipment truck. They say it looks awesome. Good for them for the rivalry game. But I'm going to pick New Mexico to win. But with this type of game, just because it's a rival, there are some other things at stake where it might not be as convincing of a win as people may think. They're 0-3. They got crushed by Florida 61-13. Lost to a bad Georgia State team who's not very good. UTEP, they lost to them in overtime. New Mexico State, they can put up some points. They're able to move the ball a bit, and that could be an issue because New Mexico's defense, we saw the Tulsa game, we saw multiple games this year, saw what Cameron Kaufman did last week against them. They can move the ball in the air. Tyler Rogers, he does have 7-2 interception ratio, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks there. Running the ball is pretty good. Got Larry Rose, averaging over 6 yards a carry. But the main guy, you got stuff like Tyron Taylor and Tedrick Morgan. Those are the two receivers. They each have 13 and 14 apiece, respectively. 5 total touchdowns. So those are the guys New Mexico has to target. If Rogers can get off throwing the ball against this New Mexico defense, this could be not necessarily a shootout, but it could be a game where it's closer than people think. And just because that's the weakness. Just go back and look at the Tulsa game. It's all I have to remind you. Look at Tulsa. They got thrown. Look at Wyoming. Cameron Kaufman had I got to look it up now. 340 games, I believe. 345 yards, I believe, in that game. A couple of touchdowns. Oh, I really want to look now just because. Yeah, 366, four TDs, they have two picks. So if New Mexico needs to get pressure on the quarterback if they're going to win, and they're not going to play keep away because their offense goes so quickly, but I think they'll win but not necessarily cover that 12.5 points because the Aggies, again, they can score and score quite a bit. It'll be close, but I think the Lobos are going to win. And then whatever trophy or goes with it, that's great. Next game, ESPN2. Hey, you get $500,000 at Boise State. Congratulations. Hawaii at Boise State. We want to see Brett Rippon. He had a huge game last year. As I joked, yes, he's better than Kellen Moore. No, he's not really than Kellen Moore, folks. That's overreaction. And the one person who keeps trying to convince me that Rippon's game was better than Tyler Irving, be quiet. You know, I don't care. I'm not in a bad mood. You're just terrible. It wasn't the right decision for you to say that. But it's a second start. It's at home, so that's a great deal. They're hoping for a sellout, but I don't know exactly. They're getting close. They're kind of begging to get a sellout. This game, again, it's a night game. So it's at 8:15, probably closer to 8:30. It's on ESPN2. Look for it to be on ESPN News before because no game ever ends on time, and they don't hold it for more than 15 minutes or so. So Hawaii, here's the thing about Hawaii. They have their schedule so tough. They've played – this is another road game for them. They've been playing so far away from them. They beat Colorado week one, went to Ohio State. They've gone to Wisconsin, gone to Boise State, and they haven't gotten beaten too bad. Like Ohio State, yeah, it was 38-0. It was 17-0 at the half, and Ohio State didn't really pull away until the fourth quarter where they scored 21 points. 14-0, 17-0 into 3. And then Wisconsin, yeah, 28-0, but it was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown every quarter. It wasn't a blowout. So the depth is not there. Defense is doing fine, but the offense, the passing game, there's nothing going on. What I like out of Max Whittick, he's throwing it. He's not even 50% throwing the ball. 5-4 touchdown interception ratio. Got Marcus Kemp and Quinton Pedroza are doing quite well in receiving game. And when I mean quite well, they're about top two targets at 15-13 receiving the ball this year with Pedroza leading that. But and then if you look at Kemp's numbers, it's skewed. He has a 79-yard TD. But in running game, you got Paul Harris, all the stats, blah, blah, blah. He's same thing. He has one huge run for 95 yards. His offense isn't very good. And we know how good Boise State's defense is. And look at Virginia game last week for Boise State. No mean to jump around, but look at the pick sixes Boise State had against Virginia. Look at the strip sacks and fumbles they're having. Look at what they're doing defensively. And Virginia's better than Hawaii. This defense is possibly... Ohio State's defense is pretty good too, but Boise State's defense is right up there. Another elite defense, let's put it that way, who they're facing. And I think this might be the game where... It'll be like the Virginia game a little bit. I think Boise will get either short fields or easy or scores off of the defensive side of the ball to just beat beat Hawaii. But the Hawaii defense will still show up and do reasonably well. Jeremy McNichols has that concussion. His status is still, I should look that up. And there's no real update on that. He left in the fourth quarter, so he may or not play at the moment. I wish that was made more clear, unless I'm not finding it or something. But I remember reading that he left, and they don't need him to play, even though he's a touchdown machine, doing quite well. I think he's on pace, like leads the nation rushing. He's on pace for some ridiculous first-time starter record, beating Jay Ajayi's numbers and all that sort of stuff, which would be amazing if he could, just because of how well Ajayi ran the ball and how often he found the touchdown. Found a touchdown in the end zone, I should say. Jeez, that's terrible English. Boise's going to win. That's all it comes down to. The line on this game, let's look that up here and see. I believe it's 3 touchdowns, I want to say. Let's hit the back button a couple times here to see exactly what the odds makers, the experts, are saying about this game. It is a 25-point line for Boise. I think Wyoming will cover that because what we've seen all year, Boise State's probably on par with Wisconsin's offense. Ohio State wasn't very well. I think it'll be a big win, but similar to where Boise State will just score late and kind of run away with it. And Hawaii's offense, they're not going to do it. This is going to be another game where they struggle. Hawaii's goal is to stay healthy in this game. Don't be injured. Don't get too many injured players in this game and just come out and get the win. Getting the win for them is not losing defenders on the ball, on their side of the ball. Just have them play as best they can. Hang in the game. Have fun. Do what you're going to do. But health, once you get past this, the West is wide open. We're going to move on from this game. Boise is going to win. They'll get a defensive touchdown or two. They'll make a big plays. But after this, the West is wide open. They go to San Diego State, or they host San Diego State next week. They go to New Mexico at Nevada. They host Air Force. Hey, you're at the island. You can beat them. They go to UNLV. That's a quasi-rivalry game. They can beat that. UALM, end of the year, San Jose State. They do need 7 wins for a bowl game, but it's a possibility. Yeah, they could be 2-3 because beating Colorado was a huge get for them. That was an iffy game. So if they're sitting at 2-3, why can't they beat San Diego State at home? Why can't they beat UNLV on the road? They could beat Fresno at home. So there's still a ton. Not to say they're done with. Obviously, I'm not indicating one bit, but this game will be tough. And they miss Utah State. They miss Colorado State on the east side, or the, well, I guess east for them, the Mountain Division, to be more precise or accurate. Heck, why not? We like Hawaii. It's a team I do like. We like every team, and we hate every team, as we say all the time. But they're gonna lose. Whatever. It happens. Nobody's expecting them to win. I should give Hawaii a little more chance because of their defense, but the offense is just so bad. They're not running the ball well. They're not throwing the ball well. Marcus Kemp, Max Wittig, all whatever people giving them first team like Phil Steele was. No, not bad choice. Bad choice. Boise wins big. That's all I'm going to say. But it's not going to be a blowout like we think. It could be 40-10, 40-20, but it could be where Boise scores 3/4 of their points in the second half. Final game of the weekend, a dueling game. This is 8:30 Mountain Time. It's on CBS Sports Network, so be prepared to watch the game before because it'll go long, and then you won't see the first quarter of your game unless you're at the Aztecs. This game is terrible. It's oil can going on. I don't know how they gave San Diego State an 8.5-point favorite in this game, but here's the thing. Fresno State over the, was a bark board, said there's like 3 head coaches. Nobody's talking to each other. I'm assuming that's Tim Drutter, head coach, Dave Schramm, OC. And I don't know the name of the defensive coordinator. I probably should, but I don't. Martiz Waller's not playing very well, running the ball. Fresno's just, I think when Matt said 4-8, he might have been generous. Martiz Waller is the one player they have on the team, but here's the one good thing about it. Zach Greenlee is going to be starting because they got Chase and Virgil's likely out for the year. Ford Childress, the ruptured spleen. So here's the positive. And this is not being sarcastic or satirical or anything. It's kind of just poking fun at Fresno State. But with Zach Greenlee being the guy, their likelihood of a different QB coming in, next to none. So just maybe that could be the confidence he needs because Greenlee only has 1 interception and 6 touchdowns. Well, not only 6 touchdowns, but just 1 interception. If he's the guy, and he knows he's the guy, maybe they'll give him the confidence to, if he does happen to make a mistake, because mistakes happen, nobody's perfect. He might give him the chance, like, hey, I can do this. Okay, I messed up. Not a big deal. I can shake it off. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm not tense. I'm not holding back. I'm not trying to make a mistake, but I'm trying to win. Maybe this will turn Fresno State's season around. Because Martiz Waller has yet to find the end zone, which is pretty disturbing. They have 1 rushing touchdown on the air, and that comes from wide receiver Jameer Jordan. And even receiving court, they spread the ball pretty well. You got Jameer Jordan, Keyshawn Johnson, but not that Keyshawn Johnson, obviously, from USC folks. Look him up. Give me the damn ball. That's what he said. Josiah Blandon, Demaryius Scott, all have 10 receptions. Maybe, because here's the thing, San Diego State's not very good either. They lost to, again, South Alabama recently. A new FBS team in the Sun Belt, they lost to them. What the Aztecs have going for them, obviously, this was a game probably early in the season, or preseason, I should say, that, hey, this is going to be a game where I want to see possibly the 2 best running backs in the league, Martiz Waller and Donnell Pumphrey. Yeah, Pumphrey on the year is doing not exactly what people thought he would be doing. He's not tearing it up like last year where he was just scoring at will, finding the end zone. I believe he was leading the nation in yards per game, if I recall. He's sitting at 305, which is just under 100 per game. Does have 3 touchdowns, so almost 1 every game. He's only had 100 yards in 1 game against South Alabama, 102. He only had 56 against Penn State. He did okay versus Cal. He's getting a little... Penn State's defense is pretty good, so he's doing okay, but he's not doing extremely well. We're like, yeah, he's going to crush it. He's going to win the Player of the Year award. Like, well, myself voted for in our top 50. Maybe should have gone to Rashard Higgins, or we'll revisit that later on. You can't take anything into account for the San Diego game. That means nothing because Aztecs are going to win. If they're going to win this game, they need Pumphrey to have a big game on the ground. Again, one other thing about Aztecs we've been harping on for years, since losing like DeMarco Samson, Gavin Escobar's with the Cowboys, they don't have a guy who can catch the ball consistently. Yeah, Mika Holder, 11 receptions. Actually, it's Donnell Pumphrey leading the team with 14. But here's the thing, Maxwell Smith, you're terrible. You played in the SEC, but you played in Kentucky. Yeah, you played a lot your freshman year there. He's only 43% completion rate. 43. So how in the heck are the Aztecs an 8.5-point favorite in this game? Yeah, Fresno's terrible, but at least Zach Greenlee can find the end zone and complete over 50% of his passes. And as I'm talking, I might be convincing myself as we speak to pick San Jose State. Oh, geez. Not San Jose State. Excuse me. Their colors popped up on my screen when I went back to check on this game. Fresno State. Am I going to pick Fresno State to win? Wonder if Matt's listened to this. He's like, no, do not pick them. You can't pick them. They're terrible. Both these teams are awful. It's at Qualcomm. They want fans at the game. They're doing some promotion or something to get people there, to get butts in the seat. This game could convince me to pick the winner to win the West, but it's just two bad teams. Two bad teams. Out of the worst teams, here's the thing. Running back is about even, I would say. Quarterback goes to Fresno State. I don't even want to look at the defense because look what Fresno gave up to Utah and San Jose State. Maybe, actually, I'm probably going to go towards San Diego State because thinking back at it, Tyler Irvin's not the running back that Donald Pumphrey is, and he had 300 yards. So I'm taking Aztecs to win and cover. Well, no, not cover. It'll be a close game. It's 8.5. I'll pick Fresno to cover, but Aztecs to win outright. But this game could be more exciting. Well, maybe not exciting, but it'll be closer. It won't be a blowout. But the winner probably, because I still have faith in San Diego State that they can turn around a little bit to be the favorite in the West. I got San Jose State right there. I want to see what they do this week versus Auburn. Not that it counts for conference play, but if they can hang around with Auburn, then I might elevate them to be my West as a top at this moment. But not yet. But I'm going to go Aztecs are going to win, and that's the games we got this week. Whew. A whole lot of 50 minutes for me talking by myself there. Hopefully it sounded well. I know I'm not going to say I did not stumble or pause it a couple times, and times I probably should have paused it. Like when I mentioned San Jose State a few minutes ago, I did not. So that's what we got. A bunch of games this week. Check them out. We'll have open thread, all sorts of stuff. One quick thing I probably should have inserted before. Hey, go buy some Bombas socks. It'll help Chris. It'll help me out. Hey, give us a dollar or two for something. I know, but no, but seriously, these... And I'm not kidding when I say this type of stuff. Here's the coolest thing. They're athletic leisure socks. They donate a pair for every pair you buy. You got the blister protection. So if you're a runner or something, you don't have to worry about putting, I know people in those ankle socks, they put tape on them so they don't fall down your bottom of your feet and you, whatever, that's just terrible. It's embarrassing. It's uncomfortable. No joke. I went to Comic-Con last week. Yes, call me a nerd. I went to Comic-Con with my kids. Wore these all day perfectly fine. Amazing stuff. So here's the thing. They're $11 per pair for men, $8 for kids. However, get you a 20% discount. If you go to bombas.com/MountainWest, put in your email, there's a code there. But again, trust me, just try them. If you don't like them, you can actually send them back. That's what they say. You can send them back. They're athletic socks. So heck, if you're in the business world, you can get the black socks. I do it all the time. Well, when I did have a job that required me to wear that type of stuff, but just wear the athletic socks. They're black. Nobody can tell. Just check them out. Again, bombas.com/MountainWest. Go peruse. Yeah, just check them out. They're awesome. They do have regular colors. If you go there and see this bright purple, pink, the Volt yellow, the ankle sock that has four different colors. They have white and navy blue now, so check those out. I'm just kidding. They're just very comfortable, so that's awesome. That's what we got for tonight's show, so hope you like it. Let me know if I did okay, if I did terrible, if you never want me to host again. I probably will. I'm not going to go away. I'll listen to you, but I'm not going to go away or anything like that, but check us out, mwcconnection.com, and hopefully I'll be back for the recap. Well, at least somebody will be here. Maybe it'll be Chris and me. That's the ultimate goal, what we're going to. But again, mwcconnection.com, Twitter, mwcconnection, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Let's see if we can get to 2,000 followers on, or likes, I should say, on Facebook. We did post NCAA football could be coming back, which would be awesome. There's no one for the next-gen system. I'd love one for my PS4, but right now I don't have my there's no college football game in Madden I don't like. I stick with FIFA and a few other games like Lego Marvel, Disney Infinity. Those are awesome games. But if that comes back, whoo, that would be awesome. So that may be a couple years down the road, but the Ed O'Bannon case is over, basically saying that they can make money off COA, but that's about it. So there could be a video game coming back. Conference has got to agree to all the legalese and those type of things. But check us out. That's the end of our show tonight. SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Subscribe to them all. Again, leave a review, say what you want, but give us 5 stars. That's what we got. And that's our game this week. So hope all everybody's teams do well. And yeah, again, every game Saturday through Saturday night, no Thursday, no Friday games. So yeah, we hope your team does well and have a good one.